Born again, John 3, 1 through 17 is our text today. This is the second Sunday in Lent as we go through this season of reflecting on, in different ways, Jesus suffering, what he has done for us. And today's text comes from a conversation that is apparently early in Jesus' ministry. It's early in John's report of Jesus' ministry, and so it probably is early, though John doesn't always put things in chronological order. So it might not be right at the beginning, and we kind of get some hints that it's not at the very beginning because of what Nicodemus says to him. But some of the things that happened just before this is Jesus had called at least some of his disciples to follow him. We have reported the miracle of changing water into wine at a wedding feast. We have Jesus cleansing the temple, kicking out those who were misusing his temple with the exchange of animals for sacrifice and all of those things. It was really becoming a disturbance there as opposed to worship. And so we find him cleansing the temple. And then we get this conversation here that comes up, and a conversation about who Jesus is and what he is here to do. So John 3, 1 to 17 is our text. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. John 3, 1 to 17, reading in Jesus' name. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this conversation that we read about, and as we reflect on it here this morning, I ask that you would guide us in our conversation with you as well, as we think about the word that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and if any of the kids want to come to the front, I'll invite you to do that. Come on up. All right, we got a few more coming. Come on up. All right, okay. Hey, a while back, I was learning a new job. I was helping some friends for a while, working for them, building houses. And so a lot of what I did was I would cut 2x4s, those boards that are 2x4s, you may have seen some of those. Those are inside your walls probably at your house. Cutting those, nailing them together, getting ready to put those up as part of the walls, framing those walls. And so I was learning that, I was doing that, doing pretty well, learning the job and all of that. And one time, I measured incorrectly, and I cut a couple of those boards a little bit too short. I cut them too short for what I needed. And then, so, you know, I told my friend, my boss, about it. And do you know what he said to me? Can you guess what he might have said to me or asked me? I'll bet you can't guess it. He asked me if I had my board stretcher that day. My board stretcher. Have you guys ever heard of one of those? A board stretcher. Do you think you can actually do that? Do you think if I cut it too short, I can go get something to stretch the board longer? No. What did I have to do then at that point? What could I do to get a board that was the right length? I have to get a new one, right? I can't use that same board. I can't make it long enough. Fortunately, that board, there was something else that needed a shorter board, so I could use that one again, right? But for that particular spot, I needed a brand new board. Have you guys ever started a project where you get partway through it, maybe you're coloring something or cutting something to make something out of, and you get to a certain point and you think, this is not working. I have to start over again. You ever have that happen? Oh, so you were working on a drawing. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, so you were working a long time. Yeah. Oh, okay. So you were able to kind of just change it a little bit and make it work out okay. So fortunately, you didn't have to start all over, right? But sometimes we do. And sometimes we might have to start over a long time. And sometimes all our starting over doesn't work. If I tried drawing certain things, it didn't matter how many times I start. I would always mess up. That's just the way it is for me in drawing. So we're thinking about that. What can make a new start for us? That's what we're kind of thinking about today. So today I have a picture of you, of Jesus and Nicodemus having their conversation here. Let's see. Would you want to hand those out today? No, Samuel, could you? All right. Oh, guys, don't do that. All right, you guys together, you two together can kind of help pass those out. Jude, could you hand those out for me? All right, they've got some for you. Don't worry. All right, thanks for coming up, guys. You can head back. All right, most everybody's getting some. Did you get one there? He's got some? Okay, all right, sounds good. All right. Well, I was talking about, you know, starting a project and needing to scrap it and start over. Maybe you've had that happen as well. I've had one of the places where I've had that happen to. Another example of cutting something, right? We've got a project, some different things to cut up, paper that you need to cut up. And, you know, I got the paper cutter in the office there, and I go and I measure, you know, and then slice. And then I realize that wasn't the right spot. I had measured incorrectly there. And you can't, again, I don't have a paper stretcher either any more than I have a board stretcher. So, it doesn't work. You got to just start over. What about times where you might need to start over, but you don't even realize that you need to start over? Sometimes that happens in life where you're going along and you're thinking this is good, and then eventually you realize, no, it's all wrong. I need to start over. Jesus had this conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, somebody who knew the God's word, the law, very well. He knew that very well. He was a member of the ruling council, so even one of the top guys in the religious faith there for the people. So he's coming to have a conversation with Jesus, and we find in this conversation that there's a starting over that needs to happen that he doesn't even realize. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and possibly because, Jesus is a new teacher. He hasn't gone through the normal training of a teacher in the law, and so this is different. And so maybe there are different elements where he comes to him at night, probably because he doesn't want to be quite up front with this conversation or for others to see him there. But he's coming here to figure some things out. He knows God's word. In his mind, he's got it figured out, but here he's seeing something different. And so he's investigating it. Now, is he simply doing it to investigate something for himself so he can learn? Is he coming as an authority who's coming to double check on this new teacher to see if he's really teaching according to God's word? Well, there might be some of both of those things in here. We hear him opening this conversation here with Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now again, we're not sure of his intent as he comes to Jesus exactly. He treats Jesus with respect. you know, in some ways, he could be confirming his identity. As I said, Jesus is not someone who went through the normal method of learning and becoming a teacher. So he's teaching here kind of his own origin, of his own start. Like he gets going, Jesus just goes teaching without the approval of somebody else. So, does Nicodemus come to him as an authority or as a learner? Well, we don't know for sure, but like I said, maybe a little bit of both. There's evidence of here, either way, there's evidence here that Jesus is a teacher from God. Because Nicodemus says, if you weren't from God, you couldn't be doing the things that you're doing. So we don't know where you came from exactly. Where did you get your learning? We're not sure. But you couldn't be doing these things if you didn't come from God. Now, we never actually get to, I don't know, what Nicodemus wanted out of the conversation. He just starts that way. And Jesus takes control here. And he says, you know, on the topic of God, as you're talking about God, let's get right to it here. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. See the kingdom of God. Well, that's what we want, don't we? If we know about it, if we're thinking about it, if we're reflecting on what our life is, what the meaning is in this world, we want to see the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Now, that's a familiar term to us these days. It's maybe thrown around a lot sometimes. You know, in some circles, people might be frequently talking about, you know, born-again Christians. Are you a born-again Christian? What is the meaning of that? How do we use that term? There are probably different ways that we might use that term of somebody being born again, being a born-again Christian. Sometimes I think it has to do with seeing a faith that is lived out in your life. I think in the best of ways that term is used to refer to a life of faith being lived out actively. That's probably what people mean by it today as they use it most often. What about Jesus? What does he mean by being born again? As Nicodemus hears this, he objects. This is a new thought for him. We're used to this term of born again, but for Nicodemus, this is a new thought here, being born again. What is Jesus talking about? The Jewish people are part of the covenant people from birth. They're part of this people from birth. They have what they need. That's kind of the idea. Their whole life is lived within the context of being God's people. The kingdom of is theirs. The kingdom of God is theirs. That's the way that they would see it. So what would it mean to be born again? Why would you need something new? You're already in the kingdom of God. But Jesus says something different, something new is needed. So Nicodemus says, how can somebody be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Well, that makes sense. Can't do that. And I think we probably understand that Nicodemus knew that that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. But maybe he's getting a little bit on the sense of what Jesus means here. What does Jesus mean by this? In what sense is he talking about being born again? As we think about being born, we're thinking about the origin, the beginning. And so it makes sense to think of being born again as going back and starting over, a new beginning. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. We might notice that here he says no one can enter. First he said no one can see the kingdom of God. Well, they're both really, I think, ways of saying the same thing. If you see the kingdom of God, you see it as you enter it. As you enter the kingdom of God, you see it. The problem here is, can a restart of some sort fix the problem of not being in the kingdom of God? There are some religions that believe in reincarnation, in the sense that when you die, you come back in a new life, and the objective is to live each life, a a little bit better, following certain rules that move you up in life, and you're approaching perfection. Now, different religions talk about that in different ways. They might have a different concept of what that means, but eventually you're trying to work towards something, and there's a sense of improvement there. Could we, in some way, do a restart? Maybe not reincarnation, but if it were possible to do a restart, could we do it? There's a movie with Tom Cruise in it called The Edge of Tomorrow. I don't know if you may have seen that one. It takes place in a battle zone against an alien invader or alien invaders of the Earth. And basically humanity is coming together to try and battle this thing to save humanity, because they can say, we're going to be destroyed. And as the movie starts, his character dies. And, you know, it's like, well, that ended that, except it doesn't. He returns somehow, through some means, to a certain point, a little bit before that. So he's there. He finds himself at the same point again. And then he realizes, okay, he's starting to catch on here. And he keeps trying to fight in this. And every time he dies, he comes back to the same point in time. But he remembers what happened earlier. And he keeps learning more, learning what he needs to know, keep trying to get it right to defeat this enemy, and getting better and better every time. Is that the idea that Jesus is getting at about being born again? Starting over, trying again, getting better. If we were born again by any normal means, if we could, let's say it's not just repeated like that in this life, but let's say we could even just go back to the very beginning of our life, with everything we know now about what is right, what is wrong, all of that, and could live our life all over again from the very beginning and up to the end of life, up to now, up to the end of our life, would we succeed at living the life that we should live? If we were born again in that sense, would we succeed? Or let's say we, if it would be helpful, let's say we just set a point of time now and we say, okay, from now on, everything is going to be different. I'm going to live differently. Well, we might be able to change some of the behaviors in our life. We also might return back to what we were living before. That happens too. Somebody changes their life, and then so somewhere down the road, they go back to those same behaviors. But maybe they change the behavior, and that behavior lasts. But does that make a difference when it comes to the kingdom of God? Jesus says none of those physical starting over ways of starting over work or help. A different type of birth is needed. Not just any new birth, born of water and the Spirit. And this might make us appropriately, I think of baptism. Even if that's not the primary thing that Jesus is getting at here with this, we have the sense of water and the cleansing of the body and born of Spirit, something that's renewing us from inside. The Spirit of God is renewing us. You know, if we think about it, so here is what Jesus is saying, back to this idea of the flesh. A reboot of the flesh only leads to the same ending. It doesn't do any good. Any of it doesn't do any good. A spirit birth is what's needed here. So he adds to Nicodemus, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. He's saying, look, Nicodemus, you have context for this. You've heard some of these things from the Old Testament prophets. I mean, he wouldn't have said Old Testament prophets, right? But that's the way we talk about them. But in the Scriptures, you have some of this. They talk about a new covenant. They talk about a new heart, about regeneration, about a new spirit. These things are already there in what you have from the prophets. And then he uses this illustration. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. He says there is renewal. There is change. New birth means new person. But it's not like we can track that change like a checklist for change of, like, I've done this, I do this better, I do this better, I do this better, and my behaviors are now all good. That's not what new birth means in a person. We see the effects of the wind, and we might note that the word for wind is the same as the word for spirit in Greek, and so it makes sense that Jesus is using that to make a connection here. We see the effects of the wind, but we don't see what's causing it, causing the effects. We don't see it. We sense it. We know it's there. We see the movement, but we don't see what's causing it. And he says the same is true with the effects of the Spirit. We see the effects of the Spirit working, but we don't know all of what is working there. Sometimes it can even be a surprise to us. Sometimes we might see somebody's life change drastically as God is working in them, and we thought, I didn't think that was ever possible. And maybe humanly speaking, it wasn't possible. And yet when the Spirit works in us, new birth, these things happen. And we can't always trace why and how they happen. We get another question from Nicodemus here. How can this be? He asked. In Jesus' response to him, he says, you should know at least this much, Nicodemus. You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. As he's talking about we, he's probably talking about Nicodemus would likely have heard John the Baptist preaching and Jesus, and as they're hearing these things, John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And so there was a sense there that his teaching was connected to Jesus in that way, talking about being born anew. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Jesus says you need new birth, and the Spirit works in these ways that you might not be able to know how or why it's working, but you can see that God's Spirit does work in those ways. That's the human level of these things. In that sense, it's simple, because we can say, well, we can see God working even though we don't know how and why. So in a sense, it's simple there. But what are the heavenly things behind that? What is God doing in a heavenly way, in his heavenly kingdom? Only God can explain that to us. But Jesus does do that. Jesus does explain some of that to us. In fact, he came to us from heaven. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, Jesus says, the Son of Man. Son of Man is a title from the Old Testament that Jesus is using appropriately to apply to himself, because they were talking about Jesus, even though not knowing that yet. And it's not that he went there from earth first, even though it sounds like that, the way the sentence is structured, but the fact that he was there and came down to earth. No one else has done that. None of those who have gone to heaven have come back to live a life on earth. And he is here now, the Son of Man, speaking to Nicodemus, now to reveal heavenly things to him, if he will listen. He gives a little bit of a hint at these heavenly things as he gives an example from the Old Testament. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. These people in the Old Testament the people of Israel had been complaining to God. They're in the desert. They don't have food, water. They're complaining all the time. They're not trusting him. And they're rebelling against him, and so he sends these venomous snakes, and people start to die as they're bitten. And they cry out to God, and they say, we need to be saved. We've done wrong here. And so God instructs Moses to make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole, and that anyone who was bitten by a snake that was poisonous could look at that bronze snake that Moses had fashioned, and they would be healed. Seems kind of odd to us. Why would God do that? Especially when we know he doesn't want there to be idols, and this could be a temptation to worship. But it's what God designed for them to do, to be healed. How does it work that someone could look at a bronze snake and the poison would be neutralized in their body? It works because God said it would work. And that's what he does. That's part of the working of the Spirit. We don't understand the working, but we trust. And so Jesus says the Son of Man must be lifted up. In fact, Nicodemus doesn't realize it now. He will realize it later, probably, as he thinks back on these words. As Jesus was talking about the Son of Man himself being lifted up, he's talking about being lifted up in a torturous execution of a criminal. The symbol of our sin and rebellion against God, raised up for us to see. And then exalted as God as he took our punishment and saved us. That's what Jesus would do for us. That is the means by which he gives us new birth. He took our sin on the cross. And as we look to him, we receive that new birth. And now we have a famous verse. You may have it memorized. The heavenly workings of God familiar to us because we've heard it and know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here is new birth for us. Look and believe. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world. And we will hear that verse again in a few moments as we prepare to receive communion. We must be born again, Jesus says. No amount of self-help or fixing or restart on a human level will do what we need. If born again only means acting well, a change in behavior, it's not what we need. But if born again to us, as we hear Jesus say it, means God's Spirit is in us, and we look, it means that we have looked at the cross, we have confronted our sin, we have repented, and we have received forgiveness from God, then the Spirit is working and changing our lives. And we can trust him for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Many things we could unpack even further in this conversation. We thank you for the message of new birth that is given to us. Not a restart of our own effort of somehow living better, but a new birth of your Spirit in us, cleansing us, renewing us, and working that out in our lives as well, as you work in us to serve you. I ask that you would do that in us. Help us to trust you in everything, in every way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.